So, Joel, we are back to talk about Nigeria. Now, we've been waiting for the U.S. State Department to release its countries of particular concern list, and it seemed to come out a little bit later than normal, and it came out on a Friday evening, like late afternoon. And Nigeria was not on that list. But before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about what the countries of particular concern list is so people can understand that?
Sure. So there's a law that was passed in the United States in 1998 called the International Religious Freedom Act. And that law requires the president every year to make a list of countries of particular concern for religious freedom. So he's supposed to identify countries where religious freedom is not protected and then either apply sanctions to those countries or waive the sanctions if there's a really good reason. But so every year, the State Department comes out with this list.
And this list is a really good guideline to understand, you know, what is happening in other countries when it comes to religious freedom. You and I have spoken numerous times over the past year about different instances in Nigeria, and there has been a major push, not only from your organization, but also other organizations in this space to get the U.S. State Department to put Nigeria on the list. What was your reaction to the timing of the release of the list, and then also to the fact that Nigeria ended up not being on it?
So this list came out, the new list came out on Friday afternoon. Like you said, that's how Washington kills news, right? This is where they announce things that they want no one to notice. But for me, it was at the end of a very long week. And earlier in the week, I had talked to two different priests from two different states in Nigeria. Really, one is in the middle of the country and one is in the deep south of the country. So quite far apart from each other. One priest in Plateau State had just visited a village where 20 Christians were killed the week before. He met a father who saw four of his children killed in front of his eyes. He met another father who lost one of his children. He saw homes that had been burned. He said, "I stood on the ashes of human beings." They tried to have a funeral for the dead, but some of the people had just been burned so badly that there was nothing to bury. That was one priest. The other priest was from a state called Enugu in the deep south. And this is a state where Christians have been relatively safe until now. But just in November 19, there was a massive attack on a Christian village in this state, and about 12 people were killed, again, by jihadists from the Fulani ethnic group. And this priest told us that they knew the attack was coming, and they tried to alert the army, and they tried to get the army to come and protect them, but the army wasn't listening. And by the time the 12 people had been killed, they didn't realize it because the killers used machetes instead of guns. So they just went into people's houses at night and just butchered them silently. So this is what's going on in Nigeria every week. It's not an exaggeration. Every week, Christians are being killed in this country. There's an organized program by militias that seem to have at least the tacit cooperation of the Nigerian government to ethnically cleanse large parts of Nigeria of their Christian populations. And the U.S. has said this is not of concern.
I mean, and the thing about, I mean, there's so many things about this. And to your point, you and I have spoken about numerous stories, and we'll get into one of them that we've covered before. Really, I think the story that put this on the map for a lot of people, this issue, maybe they didn't realize until this stoning happened earlier this year. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the other day, there were also two busloads of people who were purportedly abducted in Nigeria as well. There have been numerous stories. I mean, it's almost a steady stream now of stories coming out. And these are the things we're hearing about, right? There's a lot that we're not hearing about. But that story you shared is really heartbreaking about that, the priest saying that we were basically standing on the ashes of humans. This, to me, you know, it seems like a situation where the government there would be taking major action. You would assume if something like this were going on, is there any indication that the Nigerian government is taking this seriously, is doing anything, you know, systematically to try to stop it?
No. there are a couple of different conflicts going on in Nigeria at the same time. The conflict that affects Christians the most is this conflict where jihadist militias from the Fulani ethnic group are attacking Christian villages in the center of the country and the south of the country, basically trying to push them off of their land and take their land for themselves. And I was in this region in February, and I saw the villages that had been destroyed with my own eyes. And what I noticed was, driving to the villages from the main city, we passed military base after military base. We passed checkpoint after checkpoint. The Nigerian military is there. They just don't intervene. And what the priest in Plateau State told me when I talked to him this week was that the villagers in these Christian villages are not allowed to have guns. They try to organize self-defense groups, but they're not allowed to own weapons by the Nigerian army. But the Fulani jihadists do have weapons. They do have machine guns often. So as far as we can tell, the army is mostly there to tilt the scales in the direction of the jihadists.
And not even being able to protect yourself is such a horrifying prospect, right? That you can't even, there's nothing you can do to really protect yourself in those circumstances. You know, when we go back to earlier this year, you were there in February, and after that, there was a stoning that was really heard around the world. I mean, this was something that people paid attention to. It was a college student. It was a major story. Can you reflect on that story a little bit? Because to me, and of course for you, you work in this space, you're looking at this all the time, you know what's going on there. But and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was a breakthrough moment for a lot of people, especially in America, hearing what exactly was going on there in Nigeria.
I certainly hope it was a breakthrough moment for a lot of people for Nigeria. And I had hoped that it would be a breakthrough moment in Nigeria as well. So just to recap for your listeners, this is a young Christian university student who was stoned on her campus after she was accused of blasphemy by her classmates. And what really shocked me about this case first was, you know, the killers recorded the crime and they recorded their faces while they were celebrating around her burning body. I watched that video and I wish I hadn't watched it, but no one has been arrested for her murder. Until today. The former vice president of Nigeria tweeted out a condemnation of the murder, and then he deleted the tweet a few hours later. The president of Nigeria released a statement saying that people shouldn't kill people when they're accused of blasphemy. They should bring them to trial. So basically saying the problem is that she was stoned by vigilantes instead of being stoned by a Sharia court. So the entire Nigerian establishment failed to bring any kind of justice for this case, even when the murder was on video. It's on the internet. You can still find it today. So this is the reality in Nigeria today, that the Nigerian government is using Islamic terrorism to subjugate the Christian population and get its way. That's what's happening.
One of the things, getting back to the, you know, the fact that that Nigeria was not included on the countries of particular concern list, is that there are other designations as well that don't seem as strong, but they seem noteworthy. The special watch list, I think there's entities of a particular designation as well, where Nigeria could have been listed and the State Department chose not to even do that. Why do you think that is?
I mean, it's just so obvious at this point that the U.S. is using this list as a way to get favor with the Nigerian government. I think the U.S. government knows that the struggle of the 21st century will be a struggle for control of Africa between the United States and China. China is making major inroads into Africa, and the U.S. wants to stop that. And in order to stop it, they're trying to get allies like the Nigerian government on their side. And almost certainly, you know, Nigeria was put on this list by President Trump in 2020. And almost certainly the Nigerian government told their counterparts in the U.S. government, this is our price. We want off of this list. If you want our cooperation, this is what we want from you. There's absolutely no credible reason to keep Nigeria off the list. And we should note, the U.S. has an independent commission for religious freedom, and they have said that they're outraged. And it's unexplainable that the U.S. did not put Nigeria back on the list this year.
And they use the word outrage. I mean, they actually use that to them. Yeah. I mean, it was very strongly worded condemnation that came out right after this was released. And yeah, that should say something, right? But as we close out here, you know, and we look at this issue, what is your organization, Christian Solidarity International? What are you guys doing there in Nigeria? How are you responding to this? Because you've been very active in many places around the world.
We are very active in Nigeria. We have programs in several different states in Nigeria to help people, especially people who have had to flee their homes to escape from terrorist attacks. So we help people start new businesses. We help them plant farms. We help them get medical care if they've been wounded in terrorist attacks. We help children of displaced Nigerian Christians and others go to school. That's something that can be extremely difficult if you've lost your home in a place like Nigeria. But we're able to help them do that there. And we're campaigning. We're trying to get the Western world to notice what's happening in Nigeria before it's too late. So if people are interested in supporting this work or learning more about it, you can go to our U.S. website, that's csi-usa.org, or we have a special website just for Nigeria. That's nigeria-report.org. And there you'll be able to see interviews with these two priests that I did this week.
Well, Joel, I so appreciate your time and thank you for joining us. We'll be back soon with you to talk more about these important issues.
Thank you so much, Billy.